Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Surveillance Valley, The Secret Military History of the Internet by Yasha Levine, is a critical history of networked technology that challenges the popular myth that the internet emerged mainly from counterculture idealism and benign academic collaboration. Levine traces the development of online systems through Cold War priorities, defense funding, and intelligence ambitions, arguing that surveillance and social control were not accidental byproducts but foundational design goals. Moving from early computer networking projects to contemporary platforms, he connects military research agencies, universities, private contractors, and Silicon Valley firms in a continuous story about monitoring, influence, and power. The book blends investigative reporting with historical reconstruction, focusing on how tools built for command, control, and population management evolved into everyday infrastructure. Rather than treating privacy loss as a recent deviation, Levine frames it as the logical endpoint of a long institutional trajectory. The result is a provocative lens for readers trying to understand why the modern internet so often feels optimized for tracking, targeting, and behavioral prediction. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Cold War origins and the logic of command and control. A central topic is the claim that the internet's early development cannot be separated from Cold War strategy. Levine emphasizes how defense institutions financed and shaped networking research with goals tied to command, control, and information dominance. Instead of viewing early networks purely as neutral pipes for scholarly communication, the book frames them as experiments in managing complex systems and coordinating actors at scale. This includes the practical needs of military planning, distributed operations, and the ability to maintain oversight across distance and time. The narrative encourages readers to reconsider familiar origin stories that focus on openness and decentralization, while downplaying who paid for the work and why. By foregrounding the institutional context of defense research, Levine presents the internet as a technology born inside a security state mindset. That mindset prioritizes visibility, accountability, and the ability to map and predict human and organizational behavior. This topic sets up the rest of the book by establishing surveillance not as a later corruption, but as an initial organizing principle. The reader is invited to see network architectures, data collection habits, and monitoring capabilities as aligned with early priorities rather than incidental side effects. Secondly, from academic labs to social management experiments, another major theme is the migration of networking ideas from research environments into broader programs aimed at measuring and shaping social behavior. Levine discusses how institutions explored the possibility of using networked systems to model populations, detect dissent, and guide decision-making. In this framing, computers and networks are not only communication tools, but also instruments for observation and classification. The book highlights the role of funding pathways, pilot projects, and partnerships that blurred lines between civilian research and security objectives. This topic also captures how behavioral science and computational analysis can merge into systems that treat people as data points to be tracked, segmented, and influenced. Levine's argument is that the desire to make society legible to administrators and planners is deeply compatible with network computing. As these experiments matured, techniques for data collection and analysis became easier to deploy at scale, especially as consumer services normalized continuous tracking. The reader comes away with a sense that what looks like today's targeted advertising ecosystem has conceptual ancestors in earlier efforts to build population-level monitoring and management. Capabilities. This helps explain why surveillance can feel structurally embedded, not merely the product of a few bad corporate decisions. Thirdly, the rise of surveillance as a business model. Levine connects state security interests to the later commercialization of surveillance, arguing that market incentives and government objectives can reinforce each other. This topic explores how consumer internet services often rely on extensive data extraction to generate revenue, improve targeting, and lock in users. The book's perspective challenges the common assumption that privacy erosion is just an unintended consequence of innovation. Instead, it describes a system in which tracking is profitable and operationally useful, producing a strong push toward more measurement, more retention, and more analysis. In practice, that means platforms are encouraged to watch what people do, infer what they want, and predict what they might do next. Levine's broader point is that once surveillance becomes routine and normalized, it becomes infrastructure embedded in product design, analytics pipelines, and corporate strategy. The presence of government demand for data, collaboration mechanisms, and legal pressure can further intensify the trend. This topic is valuable for readers trying to understand why simple fixes, like changing settings or switching apps, often feel insufficient. The book nudges the reader to see surveillance capitalism not as a strange detour, but as a stable equilibrium produced by aligned incentives across institutions. Fourthly, myth-making around freedom, decentralization, and inevitability. A key topic is the critique of popular narratives that present the internet as inherently liberating, naturally decentralized, and destined to empower individuals against institutions. Levine argues that these stories can function as ideological cover, making it harder to see how power operates through technology. When the internet is treated as an unstoppable force of progress, political choices and design trade-offs disappear from view. The book pushes back by showing how specific actors, budgets, and missions influence what got built and what did not. This topic also examines how the language of openness and innovation can coexist with highly asymmetrical visibility, where users are transparent to platforms and authorities while decision-makers remain opaque. By interrogating myth-making, Levine encourages readers to ask who benefits from a given architecture and what assumptions are smuggled into product culture. The implication is that surveillance is not an accident that can be patched while keeping the same underlying worldview. Instead, meaningful change requires confronting governance, incentives, and accountability. For readers, this topic provides a framework for resisting techno-fatalism and for understanding that alternative futures depend on deliberate political and institutional decisions. Lastly, what a surveillance first history implies for politics and personal agency. The final major topic is the practical meaning of viewing the internet through a surveillance first lens. Levine's argument suggests that individual privacy tactics, while sometimes useful, do not address the deeper structure of network power. If monitoring capabilities are foundational, then reform has to engage with institutions, procurement, regulation, and the technical defaults that make tracking cheap and ubiquitous. This topic explores the tension between convenience and autonomy, where users trade frictionless services for continuous observation, often without clear consent or understanding. The book encourages a broader conception of harm, extending beyond personal embarrassment or targeted ads to include political manipulation, chilling effects on speech, and the normalization of constant monitoring. It also raises questions about democratic oversight when critical infrastructure is controlled by private intermediaries that can shape information flows. For the reader, this topic clarifies why debates about encryption, data retention, platform accountability, and surveillance law are not niche technical issues but core civic concerns. The takeaway is that agency depends on collective choices and institutional constraints, not only on personal discipline. By connecting history to present dilemmas, Levine offers a framework for thinking about what kinds of internet are possible and what it would take to build them. In conclusion, this book best suits readers interested in the history of technology, internet politics, privacy, and the relationship between government power and commercial platforms. Journalists, policy students, cybersecurity professionals, and everyday users who feel uneasy about tracking culture will find it especially relevant because it offers a coherent historical explanation for why surveillance is so pervasive online. The benefit is not a list of quick privacy hacks, but a sharper mental model of how institutions, incentives, and infrastructure interact. That model can change how you interpret headlines about data breaches, platform regulation, intelligence collection, and the next wave of consumer tech. It can also influence personal decisions about which services to trust and support, while grounding those choices in a broader understanding of structural limits. Compared with books that focus mainly on recent scandals or individual corporate misconduct, Levine's approach stands out by tracing continuity from early defense research to modern internet business practices. That longer arc helps readers see patterns that shorter timelines miss and clarifies why reforms that ignore history often fail. If you want a challenging, argument-driven account that reframes the internet's origins and stakes, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Yasha Levine, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.